The appointed hour has arrived. Call the meeting to order. Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on June 10, 2008. We welcome those of you who have joined us today both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today, the board will consider a recommendation to adopt new rules to establish a reporting framework for registered public accounting firms. Before we proceed with the agenda, I will note for the record that all board members are present. I'd particularly like to offer a special greeting to our newest board member, Steve Harris. The first and only order of business before the board today is a staff recommendation to adopt rules on periodic reporting by registered firms. Section 102D of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act provides that each registered public accounting firm shall submit an annual report to the board and may also be required to report more frequently to provide information specified by the board or the SEC. The board today will consider adopting rules and forms to govern and facilitate annual reporting of certain information and to require, govern, and facilitate special reporting of certain other information upon the occurrence of specified events. I'll now turn to Michael Stevenson, Deputy General Counsel, and Sarah Williams, Deputy Director for Registration, for the staff's recommendation. Michael and Sarah.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. At the outset, I want to note that our recommendation on annual and special reporting will be our only recommendation this morning. We had expected also make a recommendation to adopt final rules on succeeding to the registration status of a predecessor, and that was included in the meeting notice that the board issued last week. Unfortunately, that recommendation is not ready today, but we hope to have it ready for board consideration in the near future. We are, however, recommending today that the board adopt rules and forms to establish annual and special reporting requirements for registered firms. Our recommendation relates to rules and forms that the board proposed and put out for public comment in 2006. The board received 12 comment letters, and we considered them carefully. In some respects, the rules that we recommend differ from the proposed rules as a result of our consideration of commenters' views. In many other respects, we have clarified points the commenters asked about. I'll describe some of those changes and clarifications this morning, but not all of them. I'd like first to put the recommendation into context. In proposing these rules, the board was clear that the principal objective of the proposed rules was to generate regular reporting to the board of information or events that might inform board regulatory processes, such as planning inspections or identifying matters warranting follow-up by enforcement staff. In recommending that the board adopt these requirements, we do not mean to suggest that these should constitute the only reporting or disclosure requirements that the board ever adopts. Over time, the board may identify other reporting or disclosures by registered firms that would serve the public interest. We recommend today's rules as a foundation for a reporting framework, not the limits of a reporting framework. We are, of course, aware of the work of the Department of Treasury's Advisory Committee on the Auditing Profession, including its recent draft recommendations, some of which would call for the board to impose disclosure obligations that go beyond those included in our recommendation today. Our recommendation today should not be understood to suggest any view on the substance of the advisory committee's draft recommendations. We anticipate that the board will want to carefully consider any final advisory committee recommendations for additional reporting requirements, but we recommend that the board move forward now to put in place what would be the basic elements of any reporting framework. Turning to the substance of our recommendations, we recommend that the board adopt 8 new rules, rules 2200 through 2207, 2 new forms, Form 2 and Form 3, and related amendments to 5 existing rules. The rules would create 2 types of reporting obligations, an annual reporting obligation requiring each registered firm to update certain basic information every year by filing a Form 2, and a special reporting obligation that would be triggered for any particular firm if and when any of certain specified events occurred with respect to that firm. Under the rules, firms would file Form 2 and Form 3 electronically through the board's web-based system. That system will differ in some respects from the system that the board has used to this point for registration applications. firms will still have the option to submit information in XML format, but those firms that do not use XML will use HTML web forms that we believe will make the mechanics of reporting reasonably straightforward. I also want to note on that point that if the board adopts these rules, we plan to prepare written guidance to help firms navigate the new system and to provide clear answers to practical questions that they may have about the reporting requirements. The release that we're recommending that the board issue today describes what the board is doing and why, and discusses issues raised by commenters, but it is not intended to serve as a practical guide to complying with the reporting requirements. We plan to provide that kind of a guide closer in time to the rules taking effect. We're recommending that the board set the rules to take effect 60 days after Securities and Exchange Commission approval of the rules. That's a change from the proposing release, which suggested having the rules take effect 21 days after commission approval. We now believe that the longer period would be appropriate so that firms have fair lead time to prepare for these obligations after they know with certainty, because of commission approval, what the requirements will be. Once the rules do take effect, firms will immediately be subject to the requirement to file special reports on Form 3 if certain events occur. One of the changes that we're recommending from the proposed rules, however, is that firms have 30 days after the date of the event, rather than 14 days, to file Form 3. Accordingly, the first reporting deadline that any particular firm could face would be 30 days after the rules take effect, which would be 90 days after commission approval. When the rules take effect, firms will also have a one-time Form 3 reporting obligation relating to events that have occurred between the time of the information provided in their registration application and the time that these rules take effect, which I'll call catch-up reporting. That catch-up reporting requirement, though, would be narrower in scope than the one that was proposed. A firm would not need to report every Form 3 event that occurred since its registration application, but only certain Form 3 events, and then only to the extent that the information remains current today. For example, if in the interim period a firm had hired an employee with a disciplinary record that would make that hiring a reportable Form 3 event, the firm would have to file a catch-up report concerning that hiring, but only if the individual was still with the firm as of the date the rules take effect. With this narrower approach, we do not expect the Form 3 catch-up reporting to pose a significant burden for any firm, and we expect that many, if not most, firms will not have experienced any reportable event that triggers the need to file a Form 3 catch-up report. Form 3 reportable events, in general, are not events that routinely or frequently occur for most firms, and we anticipate that many firms might never need to file a Form 3 other than to report a change in address or a change in the contact person for PCAOB matters. All registered firms, however, must file an annual report, and our recommendation is that the board set a single annual reporting period and deadline for all firms. Under the recommended rules, the first annual report would be due by June 30, 2009, covering a 12-month period ending March 31, 2009. The rules that we recommend also require that each registered firm, pay an annual fee by July 31st of each year, or 1 month after the annual reporting deadline. The Act requires that the board assess and collect from firms registration fees and annual fees to recover the costs of processing and reviewing registration applications and annual reports. The rule provides that the board will announce the annual fee from time to time, but the amount of the fee is not itself set by rule. We anticipate that the board will announce the annual fee closer in time to the date the rules take effect. I want to turn now to some important aspects of the reporting process other than the substance of the information to be reported, and I'll start with confidential treatment requests. On this point, our recommendation closely tracks the proposed rule. Firms will be able to request confidential treatment for certain categories of information on Forms 2 and 3, but not all categories. While those requests are pending, the board would not delay publication of the report, but would publish the report on the board's website almost immediately upon filing. Information for which confidential treatment was requested would be redacted from those public versions of the form, pending final determination on the confidential treatment request. The objective is that as much information as possible be publicly available promptly after filing. We are also recommending that the board adopt the previously proposed amendments to Rule 2300 concerning the support that a firm must supply for a confidential treatment request. I want to emphasize that nothing in these changes would affect a firm's right to seek review of an initial denial of confidential treatment. Initial decisions would continue to be made by the Director of Registration and Inspections pursuant to delegated authority, and under the board's rules, a firm may seek board review of any denial. The recommended rules also closely follow the proposal on the subject of a non-U.S. firm's ability to withhold information from an annual or special report on the ground that the firm cannot provide the information without violating non-U.S. law. The core principle underlying recommended Rule 2207 is the same as the core principle underlying Rule 2105 in the registration context. Under Rule 2207, as long as a firm has certain materials that support its assertions about a legal conflict, and as long as it has taken certain steps to try to overcome the obstacle by seeking waivers or consents, a report on Form 2 or Form 3 can satisfy the basic filing requirement even if it omits the information that is subject to the asserted legal conflict. The firm would need to certify on the form that it has the supporting materials in its possession. The rule reserves to the board and to the director of the Division of Registration and Inspections the discretion to require that a firm submit any of those supporting materials in a particular case, but the rule does not include those materials in the basic filing requirement. The rule also reserves to the board the discretion to require, ultimately, that the firm report the withheld information. The recommended rules also include provisions for firms to amend previously filed annual and special reports. The rules we recommend, though, take a different approach to amendments than the proposed rules did. As proposed, Rule 2205 would have required a firm to amend its filing within a fixed time after becoming aware of an error or omission. Commenters raised concerns about the practical difficulties posed in this context by relying on the concept of a firm becoming aware of an error or omission. And our consideration of the potential difficulties led us to a less prescriptive approach that relies instead on the firm understanding its self-interest. To comply with the filing requirements, annual and special reports must be complete and accurate. Inaccuracies or omissions could form the basis for disciplinary sanctions for failing to comply with the requirements. Firms should, therefore, be sufficiently motivated to have procedures to detect any need for amendments and to amend filings as soon as possible. Accordingly, the version of Rule 2205 that we recommend you adopt does not attempt to identify the circumstances in which an amendment is required, but, rather, provides for the possibility of amending a filed form. Rule 2205 also makes clear that amendments are appropriate only to correct information that was incorrect at the time of the filing, or to supply omitted information or affirmations that should have been supplied at the time of the filing. The amendment process should not be used to update information reported on a form in the event that the information changes after the filing. We're also recommending that the board adopt the amendment it proposed to Rule 4000. Rule 4000 provides that registered firms shall be subject to such regular and special inspections as the board chooses to conduct. The amendment provides that the board, in the exercise of its inspection authority, may at any time request that a registered firm provide additional information or documents relating to information provided on Form 2 or Form 3, or relating to information that has otherwise come to the board's attention. The amendment provides that any such request and response are considered to be in connection with the firm's next regular or special inspection. Accordingly, the cooperation requirements of Rule 4006 would apply, and the request and the response would be subject to the confidentiality restrictions of Section 105(b)(5) of the Act. In response to concerns raised by some commenters, the release would confirm that the information gathering activity described in the amendment is an exercise of the board's inspection authority. It does not provide a basis for the board to compel a firm to provide information beyond the scope of information encompassed by the inspection authority. With regard to the substantive reporting requirements, at a general level, they track the proposal and include requirements that serve three fundamental purposes. First, firms would report information to keep the board's records current about such basic matters as the firm's name, location, contact information, and licenses. Second, firms will report information reflecting the extent and nature of the firm's audit practice related to issuers in order to facilitate analysis and planning related to the board's inspection responsibilities and to inform other board functions, as well as for the value the information may have for the public. Third, firms will report circumstances or events that could merit follow-up through the board's inspection process or its enforcement process, and that also may otherwise warrant being brought to the public's attention. While the substantive requirements largely track the proposed requirements, there are many respects in which we have made substantive changes or clarified points after considering issues raised by commenters. It's not my intention to describe all of them in this discussion, but there is one that I want to highlight briefly. One of the proposed annual reporting items would have required firms to report information in percentage terms relative to all fees billed by the firm about the aggregate fees billed to its issuer audit clients in four separate categories: audit services, other accounting services, tax services, and non-audit services. Commenters indicated that many firms might not be able to comply with such a requirement based strictly on the Form 2 reporting period without costly changes to their systems. We weighed those concerns, bearing in mind that the general profiling purposes for which the information is sought do not depend upon a high level of precision in the data. As a result, we recommend that Form 2 allow a firm to select from two methods of calculating the percentages to report. Firms that are able to report the requested percentages based on data precisely coinciding with the annual reporting period may do so. As an alternative, though, a firm may calculate the required percentages through a formula using components that include certain fiscal year data for the firm's fiscal year that ended during the reporting period and certain other fiscal year data for clients' fiscal years that ended during the reporting period. Under either approach, the firm may use any reasonable method to estimate the components of the calculation and may round the reported percentages to the nearest 5%. Firms that use estimated data in their calculations would be required to describe their methodology in an exhibit to Form 2. Those are the points that I wanted to highlight this morning, and Sarah and I would now be happy to try to address any questions you have.
Thank you, Sarah and Michael. Are there any motions regarding this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Mr. Niemeyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board adopt the rules on periodic reporting by registered public accounting firms as recommended and instruct the staff to submit them to the SEC for approval pursuant to Section 107 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Chairman.
A motion has been made and seconded, so the question before the board is whether to adopt the rules, forms, and amendments as presented by staff. As Michael just outlined, the board will consider today the adoption of final rules to establish an annual and special reporting framework for registered public accounting firms. Before moving forward, I'd like to again thank Michael and Sarah for their hard work and tenacity, and it required some tenacity, that advanced this project. In addition to it, analyzing comment letters and revising the rule proposals, they've spent significant time working with our Office of Information Technology to develop an online reporting system that will be up and running in time to receive the reports when the rules take effect. While this has been and continues to be a complex and challenging project, I see it as the starting point. This initial effort would implement the provisions of Section 102D of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act and encompass information that would form the essential foundation of the PCAOB reporting framework. The new reporting framework would assist the PCAOB's oversight function and provide the public with more current basic information on the audit firms that audit public companies. Next, I refer to this initial effort as the foundation for the PCAOB's reporting framework because over time we can supplement these initial requirements with additional disclosure information that we identify as necessary or beneficial. In this regard, and as Michael has mentioned, The Department of the Treasury's Advisory Committee on the Auditing Profession is considering recommendations in this area of transparency. We have participated in an advisor capacity with that effort and will carefully consider the committee's recommendations. Moreover, other audit oversight regimes around the world are establishing reporting requirements, including the annual reporting requirement contained in Article 40 of the European Union's 8th Directive. In addition to these two specific efforts, the PCAOB will monitor other developments and public discussion that may point to additional disclosure requirements that the board should consider establishing. In my mind, it is appropriate, as staff proposes, to start with requirements for firms to update certain registration information and disclose other important events. In addition to the value of beginning to collect that information without further delay, there's a practical benefit to putting the reporting system in place so that firms can begin to adjust to this reporting obligation and start to get familiar with the board's web-based reporting system. Accordingly, I view the rules before us today as representing an important first step, and I support the staff's recommendation. And I'll turn to my fellow board members for a discussion, and we'll start with Dan.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a statement, and then I would like to ask the staff a couple of questions also. The periodic reporting rules before the board today have a limited purpose. They're designed to provide the board with updates of information that firms file with the board at the time of their initial registration. Congress clearly envisioned this. Section 102D of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act requires registered public accounting firms to submit annual reports to the board and authorizes the board to prescribe other reports as necessary to update the information contained in registration applications. The information that will need to be filed under these rules is limited to events and changes in the firm and in its practice that are important to the board's responsibilities, primarily its inspection function. The things covered by the rules include the nature and size of the firm's practice, any relationships it may enter into with persons or firms that have been sanctioned by the board or the SEC, and legal proceedings against the firm or its partners related to their professional practice. It's hard to imagine how the board could do its job if it did not have a mechanism to learn routinely about these sorts of developments.